organization, every group, every family needs a visionary. They need somebody that's a scout, somebody that's in the military, they might call him a point man. There's a lot of different terms for this guy. He's the leader. He's the man that's responsible for the family wagon train. We're going to put that as the picture here in this message. But as I think of us dads, I think of us as the invaluable scouts. We're the men that are riding ahead of the group. Our job is to know where the water holes are, to know whether the course is, to know whether there's going to be any severe dangers up ahead, and then to guide the group past those dangers and get them to the destination. Well, the pioneers and the settlers depended entirely on the scouts. And that's the same thing for a family. The family is depending on the dad, who's that scout. And so we want to talk about dad as the scout of the family wagon train. So before we continue, how about if we join our hearts together in prayer? Let's ask the Lord to guide us. Our Father in heaven, we join our hearts and ask you to, in a sense, be our scout tonight, but also in life. It's your wisdom, it's your knowledge of what's ahead, it's your purpose and your plan that guides us. You have a course for us, and you intend to see us to the end, and we're very grateful. Father, I pray for your guidance by the Holy Spirit tonight as I teach, as well as these men listen. And so, Father, we thank you. And we cry out to you because we're needy. We cry out to you because you're our Father and we're your sons. And we know that you're faithful and desire to equip and train us. I ask these things, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And that your name might be glorified. Amen. Well, as leaders of our families, we're the visionaries, men. And you young men that are listening and are here, you want to be getting this down now before you get there, so that you're already beginning now to plan and map out the course, as we'll see. Have a vision and have a course and know where you're going to take your family. And if you wait until the time that you need it, it's too late then. Many of us will testify to that. When you don't have a vision, when you don't have a course, you end up then going by your feelings or whatever is the strongest pull. At that moment in time, that could be a lust, it could be a selfish desire, it could be some course or vision that was given to you in a movie or in music or TV show. There's no telling what can influence our lives in that way. If we don't have it planned and know that it's God's way, we'll just no telling what will happen. And we'll see why that's important. Your wife and your children, if you think of it this way, are the pioneers in the wagon train. And every year, you embark on another segment of a long and demanding, tiresome yet rewarding journey. And your role as the dad is the scout. During this session, I'd like for us to raise our telescopes, if you can kind of think of it that way. I don't think way back then they had binoculars, did they? I don't know, whatever they had to look out long range and get a vision. That's what I want us to do. I want us to take a look at the vision. Where are we leading our families? Where are you leading your family wagon train? And let's get fixed in our minds the vision that we can use to help keep the pioneers focused, to keep them directed and encouraged and excited about where they're going. Then we want to talk about the course. What course will best get you and them to the desired destination? And then third, we'll take a look at the source of supplies, how you and they will be supplied for the journey. Those are three things that were very important to the scout. He had to have the vision, he had to know the course, he had to know where the water holes were, where the food supply was going to be. And so we'll take a look at this in a spiritual sense. Well, the first thing we want to talk about is the vision for the dad. It's the scout of the family wagon train. I would like to suggest one for you. And consider this. When our children reach adulthood, we want them to be men and women who are mighty in spirit, who are equipped to love and to serve, and who are skilled for the glory of God. Let me say that again. Just think about what you want your children to be, say whenever they leave home, in their early 20s or whatever. What kind of young man, what kind of young woman do you want them to be? Well, as I thought through that back a number of years ago, the thought that struck me was, in a spiritual sense, I want them to be mighty in spirit. And we'll talk about what that means. I want them to be equipped to love and to serve, because that's going to be the most important thing they'll do in life, in relationships. And then third, to be skilled for the glory of God. All of that for the glory of God. Well, in Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Happy is he who keeps thy law. Well, of course, if you think back in the time of the nation of Israel and God speaking to those people, if he didn't give vision, if he didn't give revelation of himself to them, then the people would be unrestrained like all the other nations on the earth. And the same is true for you and me. As dads, if we don't have a vision, then that means we're going to be unrestrained. But happy is he who keeps thy law. Or in other words, happy is the man that has vision, that has revelation, that has direction. That was true for the nation of Israel. That's what distinguished them from all the other nations on the earth. They had a vision that came from the revelation of God. They knew, or at least they had it revealed to them where they were going. Well, the same is true for you and me in this way, that if your vision, if you as a family leader have vision, it will distinguish you from all the other families on the earth. I feel fairly safe in saying that, because very few fathers even think about having vision for their families. They're not thinking about the next generation. They're not thinking, well, what I do today is going to impact what my children are going to be like 20 years from now or 15 years from now. And we want to have a vision. So one of the ways you can see that your family needs vision is look at some of the characteristics of a person without vision. Whenever someone in your family doesn't have vision, you'll find they're frustrated. You'll find that they are bouncing here and there during their day, perhaps, or they think about what they're doing, what they're supposed to be doing. They don't know, so they're just kind of taking it as it comes. Consequently, they are unrestrained. They're doing one thing after another and really perhaps not being effective in accomplishing the task that they are to do, as whether it's as a mother or as a wife or the children with maybe they're homeschooling. If you're homeschooling or you have a direction you're educating them, with no vision, they're going to be unrestrained and doing whatever they feel like. Are they unhappy? Because this verse says, happy is the man who keeps thy law. Happy is the man that has vision and direction. It provides security. So you might ask, are your children insecure? Does your wife feel insecure? Are they frustrated? We need daily to look at our vision. In fact, that's the purpose of vision. Vision is meant to be a tool that helps us. It's something we're to apply every day of our lives. Well, what is our vision? Are we going in line with our vision? Are we on the course? Are we headed the right direction? And so I want to ask you what your vision is for your family. What is your vision for your young people, for your children? Well, I hope it's not to be professional sportsmen and women. Not that I'm against sports. It just seems that today that's one of those things that young people spend, from the time they're maybe 8, 9, or 10, they spend more time playing sports and being in teams and, you know, maybe little leagues or whatever, that you'd think that that's what the parents' vision was for them. Their whole plan was to have professional sportsmen down the line. They feel like, oh, that's how they're going to get to go to college or whatever. It's kind of an amazing thing how that's taken over so many families in our society. And I hope it's not also to be happy and comfortable in this world's system and this world's philosophy. I hope we're training them in view of another, perhaps another country, another kingdom. What is your vision? What kingdom do you want your children to succeed in? We want them to be mighty in spirit, as I've said, and equipped to love and serve and also skilled to do what they're going to be called to do in their callings in life. So when I think about our series of Rising to the Call, the reason this message is so important is, how can the next generation rise to the calling of God in their lives if this generation doesn't know how to lead the way to that? If there aren't dads, there are scouts that are going before them and saying, here's where we're going. Here's the vision. Well, We want them to be mature men and women, I'm sure. And what I mean by that, I'd like to suggest, is mighty in spirit. In Isaiah 11, listen to what it says about Jesus Christ. I think this is a great description of what it means to be mighty in spirit. It says, "And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Consider how important those things are right there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. It's the beginning of knowledge. The Spirit of counsel and strength. Then he goes on, "And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear." How important is that? See, what he's saying right there is, the thing about Jesus is, he's not going to be led apart or led away by what he sees and by what people say. But instead, he'll discern it by the Spirit, by his Spirit. Because, of course, that means out of relationship with God. When we say mighty in spirit, that's what we mean. We have a vision for our children, our sons and our daughters, whenever they are mature, that they're going to be able to discern truth and right and wrong and won't be misled by what they see and what they hear. He says, "But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist." I think that's a tremendous description of someone mighty in spirit. Now I realize that's a description of the Messiah, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And I realize too that our children are probably not, we couldn't say that's going to be completely true of them. But it's a great vision, isn't it? To put it out there and say, that's my vision. My vision is that my children are going to be mighty in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And if that's what the Spirit of Jesus Christ is, then that's what I want the spirit of my children to be. I want them to be able to discern truth, righteousness. Want them to judge between the poor and decide with fairness, it says, for the afflicted of the earth. The whole desire there to be like Christ. And then we also mentioned if they're going to be mature, they need to be equipped to love and to serve. And I won't take time here in this series and in this session to explain that fully. That's explained in the tape, Equipped to Love, and in the book, Equipped to Love, that I've written. It comes from the tape series, Equipping Men. If there's probably not anything more important than teaching your children to love. The two most important qualities necessary for marriage and parenting, wouldn't you agree, would be to have an attitude or spirit of love, to know actually how to do it, and then how to serve. Think as husbands and fathers, how important knowing how to love, knowing how to serve are to you in your relationships. If your children don't have these qualities at home, they're certainly not going to have them whenever they leave. So if they're going to learn to love, the place to learn to love is right there in your wagon train, right there in your home. If they can love their parents, if they can love their siblings, then you know they're ready to get married. If they don't know how to love the people in their home, they certainly aren't going to love the people outside their home. That's where you really practice it. So I would say what it means to have a vision for our children is going to be not only mighty in spirit, but equipped to love and to serve. But then also to be skilled, educated and trained to provide for their families and to make their husband or to make their husband successful. If it's a young man, we want him to have the skills and the abilities to care for his family in a satisfactory way, in a way that will glorify the Lord, working with his hands to bless his family. If it's a young lady, we want her skilled and prepared, ready to be a helpmeet, a wonderful helpmeet to her husband. And so when we think about the vision, I'd like to suggest that summarizes it. Mighty in spirit, equipped to love and to serve, and skilled for the glory of God. Consider your vision. Now you may be able to add more to that. You may have thought through this, and you're way ahead of me. And if you are, would you please email me or please send it to me so I can learn and grow from you. But if you haven't developed a vision, then let me suggest this one as a beginning vision. Something you can take and work with and say, all right, that's what I want them to be like. And then ask God to direct the way. Well, that leads us to actually the second thing we want to talk about as far as a scout is concerned. Not only must he have the vision, the destination, where he's going, he needs to know the course. He needs to understand, how do I get my children to that vision? How do I get them to that end? What is it that's going to make them mighty in spirit? How are they going to be equipped to love and serve? How is it that they're going to be skilled? And so let's talk about the course. And I would like to suggest that God's Word has given us a clear course here. And that's this. Stay on the path of God's Word. Stay on the path of God's Word. Second, value the relationships at home. Value the relationships at home. And be disciplined in the basics and develop the natural abilities that each child has. Be disciplined in the basics and develop the natural abilities that God has given them. Let's consider staying on the path of God's Word here for a moment. The reason that's so important is the Word is from who? Where do we get the Word of God? It's inspired by God, inspired by the Spirit. So if we want them to be mighty in spirit, it would make sense, wouldn't it, that if the Spirit's the one that inspired the Word of God, then if they are raised up on the Word of God and they stay on the path of God's Word, then they're going to be mighty in spirit. They've got to be filled with the mind of the Spirit. And, of course, that's God's Word. That'll be the base of operations for the Spirit when God so chooses to give life. I heard one person say they need to have a daily diet of M&Ms. Memory and meditation on God's Word. They need to be filled with it. That's wisdom and understanding. It's going to lead them that way. Relating everything to God's Word is what's going to give them the wisdom and the understanding. If you think of it this way, all the Word of God that you can pour into their lives and into their minds, from the time they're little children, goes into a library, goes into a place in the library. Now, as each verse, if you think of each verse as one book in the library, every time you give them a scripture verse that they either memorize or have meditated on it enough to know the truth of it, it's there in the library for the Holy Spirit to use. At any point in time, the Holy Spirit can pull that verse out and use it to teach your child and to give guidance and direction, to give them discernment, not by what their eyes see and their ears hear, but to give them discernment by what the Spirit speaks through His Word. And so, as they become filled with the Word of God, even though they may not be born again, you are putting in a powerful reservoir of tools for God to use. Then later on, when the Holy Spirit gives them new birth, and their heart can then embrace the Word of God, all those things they have in their library, when the Holy Spirit brings it out, then it's going to be filled with life. It'll be filled with power to guide them in life. And that is absolutely imperative. In fact, in Vine's New Testament Dictionary of New Testament Words, he makes a distinction between rhema and logos. The logos, he says, is necessary. There's not a whole lot of difference between the two, but he says there's this distinction. The logos you put in the mind and it gets stored in the mind, and that's the prerequisite for the rhema. There's no way the rhema can actually function and be applied in our lives if we don't already have the logos. He can't bring something back to mind if it's not stored there. The whole point being, us dads as the scouts to our family must continually be taking life and relating it to God's Word. Showing how God's Word relates to life. Either way you flip that. Whenever you're teaching the Scriptures, you want to say, here's how this applies to life. When you're going through life with your child, you need to be ready to say, this that we've just experienced, oh, that's how it relates to what God's Word says over here. You want to be constantly teaching them the testimonies in God's Word, because that makes wise the simple. You think about Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 through 10. You might turn in your scriptures there. Psalm 19, 7 through 10. Notice what it says about the testimonies of God. 7 through 10. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. See, as we fill their minds with God's Word, whether it's through family devotions or having them read the Scriptures or memorize Scriptures, that's the course you want to stay on. Now, the second thing that's important as far as the course is valuing family relationships. They're God-given. I think what is often neglected is, especially as they get older, are the family relationships. Quite often a young person or even maybe a pre-junior higher values more their friends and relationships outside the home than they do their mother and their father and their brothers and sisters. And the result might be a neglect of those relationships. But I would like to suggest that when God put each one of us in a family with those siblings and with the parents, with their particular design, every person is wired different. I'm sure you've noticed that. And I think that God in His wisdom put those specific people in families just for that person to learn how to relate to people like that, to people who are different. And if they don't learn to do that there at home, they're going to really be in trouble later on when they get married. I remember when some of my children would be having struggle with each other. I'd especially remember the girls as they were thinking about getting married, you know. So, you better learn to relate to each other because you're going to probably have a daughter that's just like your sister. Or your husband is liable to be like me in some way or another. So if you don't learn how to relate with me, you're going to have trouble with him later on. You may think, oh boy, I'm never marrying anybody like my dad, like that. But you'd be surprised what could happen. And the next thing you know, you've ignored family relationships that were so valuable from God's viewpoint and went out and only found people that were like you. Well, what happens when later on you have a family and your children aren't like you? But you didn't work on that one. You just worked on the people that you liked. People that did things the way you wanted them, that liked your jokes, that liked the things you like to do. And the only people you know how to relate to are people who are like you. Well, life is about relating to people who are not like you. And if we're going to stay on the course and arrive at that point of being equipped to love and serve, it's going to be important that we practice loving and serving in our homes. So how a boy treats his mother, for instance, and his sisters is probably how he's going to treat his wife. If he communicates with his mom, if he opens up his heart and his life to his mother, then he will do that with his wife. But it takes practice. If he is close to his mom, if he doesn't treat her with honor, then more than likely as he becomes accustomed to his wife and the honeymoon time is over, then he's going to end up treating his wife the very same way he treated his mother because that's what he practiced. The same is true for a son. I mean, for a girl. How a girl relates to her father and to her brothers is probably how she's going to relate to her husband. If she has a hard time receiving her father's instructions and her father's guidance, then we shouldn't be surprised that later on when she gets married, she's going to struggle with any vision that the husband gives. Because she's used to getting her way and doing things the way she wants to do them. She hasn't practiced loving her father, or loving the one that has jurisdiction. And so that needs to be practiced in their youth. Our youth don't need to practice socializing with peers until they know how to love and serve in their relationships at home. I would like for you to really think about that. When you think about the course that you're taking your children on, if they use their brothers and sisters and use their mom and dad at home, how do you think they're going to behave when they get outside the home with their peers? In their socializing. Consider that for a minute. If they're selfish and they're self-centered, self-oriented, self-indulgent, they pout and cry when they don't get their way and they get upset when things don't go the way they'd like for them to go, when they are out there socializing with their peers, are they going to be any different? I would like to suggest they're not going to be any different. They're actually, if they're not being confronted at home with how they love and how they build relationships at home, then they will not be trained and equipped to love and serve later on in life. Parents, brothers, and sisters are God's provision for practicing loving and serving. It's the world's idea of socialization that I think has led the church and many homeschoolers. I happen to be a homeschooler and have spoken a lot in homeschooling environments, and so I believe it's this world's idea of socialization that's led many down the wrong path, wrong course for youth. If you put a group of young people or children together who are self-serving and unable to love, they'll destroy each other as they seek their own way, as they seek to be entertained, and as they use each other up for their own purposes. If they practice that throughout their teen years, we should not be surprised if their marriages fall apart on down the line. Just consider that. You know, if socialization isn't all that it's cracked up to be, because if they can't love and serve at home, they're just going to use others in their social environment, and that's not going to be positive to anyone. So value family relationships. Lead them to work out bitterness and get clear consciences with each other. I find that sometimes the greatest dangers for young people are in their own home. They aren't made to work out those relationships. They can have bad relationships with mom and dad, but if they get up in the morning, go to school, are gone from home all day long, come back from school, and then go out and be with their friends, they never have to work out a relationship with their mom and dad or their brothers and sisters. I found with many, even that have homeschooled, they find out pretty quick where their relationship is because they're with each other all day long and there's no place to run. There's no place to go except to their room. And, of course, the thing is, in the home, mom can chase them right into the room and work out the relationship. Or dad can stick to it and confront and say, you know what, this relationship has to be worked out. You have to learn how to love. You have to learn how to serve one another. So it's so important that in your vision, if you know where you're going and it's to be mighty in spirit, equipped to love and serve, to be skilled, then the course you're going to have to stay on is God's Word and then valuing those family relationships. They were given to you by God for practice for later on. Then the third thing that we talked about, to be on course, is being disciplined in the basics and in developing natural abilities. If they're going to be skilled for the glory of God, to provide for the families or be a helpmeet to their husband, then they're going to need to be disciplined in their training and in the basics of life. Consider every basic educational skill, such as mathematics, science, spelling, writing, foreign languages, reading, critical thinking, research and communication skills. Just consider all of those to be tools for life, which someday will enable them to walk through a door that is presented to them. They will be much more confident. They will look at it as an opportunity. So look for opportunities to learn various craft skills and get a broad range of experience from which to draw in the future. Now, I know there are some who would say, well, we just want to find out what our child is good at and then let that be the course. Just send them on down that course, and if they're not very good at it, then don't do it. I would like to recommend that's not the best course to be on or to take your family on. I'd like to suggest you want to let them have as many opportunities and experiences as possible, because someday, even though they may not, it may not become a vocation for them, if they develop those skills and can become proficient in them to some degree, that's going to open a door later on that perhaps no one else could walk through but your son or daughter when it comes to getting that job, because they have a broader range of abilities. I remember whenever we first started Elijah Ministries, we moved to Alabama and we were going to turn a barn into a house. We worked for about, I wanted my son to learn various skills with his hands, learning how to frame and how to do electrical and plumbing and drywall and painting and hang doors and all kinds of, you know, physical skills with his hands. Now, the interesting thing is, I think, with my son, is his main way he's going to tackle something is with his head, not his hands. He's going to think it through and kind of tackle it that direction. Well, as we were working on it, we worked about a year on it, and I came to Micah and said, Micah, what have you learned about this? His response was, I don't want to hang doors. I don't want to do drywall. I don't want to paint. I don't want to do electrical. He named all these things. He says, I know now from this experience, I don't want to do any of these things. Well, this was back when he was 15. He's now 20 now, and all those things that we did, he has, in fact, he's now working in a ministry in Mexico where almost all of those skills are, he's doing them. And he enjoys it. But I remember back at 15, he was saying, this is not my thing. Well, I knew it wasn't his thing then. But that wasn't the point. The point was, the vision is for him to be skilled for the glory of God for life. And these are skills that are going to be helpful and useful later on. Now, that's just one illustration. There's many others that I could pick from the girls, the things they needed to learn to do. Like, one really enjoys cooking. And for her, if all we did was let her cook, she wouldn't have learned to maybe do the other part that's not so much fun, like grocery shopping and meal planning and things like that. All of the daughters needed to learn to do each of those skills, not just because they were good at them, but because they were needed. So look forward way down the line and think, okay, now what skills do my sons and my daughters need? And whether they have natural abilities there or not, ignore that on one point and just get them equipped. Give them experience. Put them in situations where they have to learn skills that perhaps that's not their forte. It's not their best. But on the other hand, try different things to discover their natural abilities. We don't want to ignore the natural abilities that God has given them. And I'm not thinking here of sports. I'm going to again bring that up because I think it's such a hot item for us these days. We think our, you know, the way sports people are revered in our society, it's almost like if he's a real man, he's going to have to be good at sports. Or even today, a woman, the vision for women is that they be great in sports. But I just want to think back, just to give you an illustration. I figured out one time how many hours I spent practicing how to intercept passes and tackle people in my junior high and high school years. And I figured it up one day. It was 3,284 hours, approximately. That's the equivalent of 137 complete days. Learning how to read a defense in football, how to tackle somebody, how to intercept passes. It has been decades since I intercepted a pass, you know, on a regular basis anyway, or tackled somebody. Now, the whole point being this, that you're not going to use these things later on in life. All these skills, all these hours and weeks that we spend trying to get our kids skilled in soccer and baseball and football and basketball, things they'll never use later on in the important things in life. Now, they'll play. I mean, I still play today. I still enjoy tennis. I enjoy basketball. I enjoy the sports. But they didn't prepare me for life. And so when we think about the course that we're going to be on, I'm not suggesting that you need to lead a sportsless life. I'm suggesting let's be balanced. And they want to be skilled in the things they'll use in life. Don't get discouraged. One little point of advice. Don't get discouraged with evaluating each day, because that can drive you crazy. If you evaluate your children on a day-by-day basis, like, okay, what did we get done today? Oh, how good are they doing here? I don't know if, you know, it looks to me like they're failing in this area. They didn't do this good today. It'll drive you crazy. Instead of evaluating day after day after day and being critical, instead, press on with the direction in mind. God will be faithful to prepare them. Just be disciplined in the basics. Find the basic things that they need to be prepared for. Don't evaluate day by day, but look over the long haul. This is where we're headed. We're going to be practicing this for the next 10 years. Well, consider by the end of 10 years, they're going to be good at it. You may not evaluate it right now, and it may not be best to say, well, okay, where are they, and judge the whole preparation on where they are today. The important thing is your direction. Where are you going? Well, that's the course. The vision, mighty in spirit, equipped to love and serve, skilled for the glory of God. How are we going to get there? Stay on the path of God's Word, value family relationships, be disciplined in the basics, and develop those natural abilities. Now the question is, how do we get there? I mean, where are we going to get the strength? Where's that going to come from? Where's the source of supply? You see, the scout, not only did he have to know where they were going, not only did he need to know the course, how to get to the destination, he needed to know how that wagon train was going to be supplied with food and water all the way across the West Plains there. There was no way they could carry all the food they needed. They were going to have to pick up supplies along the way. The scout's job was to get them there and get them to those places of supply. Your children are in need of spiritual strength and refreshment just as you are on a daily basis. They'll come to you very spiritually dry. They're going to come to you thirsty. They're going to come to you at times starving for power to cope with the pains in life, to cope with the disappointments. They're going to need to know where do I get the strength to perform up to the level that my parents are demanding of me? Because, you know, remember when you were a child, how you felt about that? Maybe your mom and dad thought you were supposed to get A's on your report card. So did you think you were the one that was supposed to do that in your power and strength? Well, if you're like me, yeah, you probably did. Where was the source of supply there? Well, that source of supply is the flesh. It's your own strength. That's a lousy source of supply, isn't it? That's a very powerless, empty source of supply. They're going to try to meet their own expectations, which time and time again they'll fall short. So some of your pioneers are going to look to the flesh for the power to perform and succeed. And it is the very weakest of all power sources. And it always results in emptiness and frustration. It's like, if you can picture this, picture the wagon train. The scouts supposed to have been out there finding out where the water supply was, and he wasn't doing his job. They come to they see a creek bed over in the distance, and everybody's thirsty. They got to get water. Their barrels are empty, you know, from the last time they found water. And so you can just see the wagon trains, seeing the creek bed over in the distance. Yeah, let's go. There's some water. And they get up to the creek bed and it's dry. That's what the flesh is like. The flesh is just like a dry creek bed. So we're hoping there's water there, but you don't find any. That's how the flesh is. You hope there's strength there. You can try to be a dad, the scout of the family wagon train. And if you try to do it in your own strength to lead the way on that course, you're going to find you're going to be dry as a bone. There's no strength in your flesh to do it. In fact, you may have been listening to these things up to now. Pardon me. I've been shaking your head going, I don't know. I don't know that I can do this. That vision's too high. That's going to take too much work. That's always how the flesh responds. It's always, because it's so weak, it always comes back with, I don't think I can do that. You know, maybe he can do that, but there's no way I could do that. Or maybe my pastor could do this, but you know, I couldn't do that. I didn't grow up like this. How could I ever do that? All those kind of excuses all come from the flesh. And that's a terrible source of supply. You don't want to lead your wagon train there. So be on the alert to children who are attempting to perform in the power of the flesh. They'll become very frustrated and disheartened. Notice your children. You've got to lead them. When you see them trying to perform for you in the power of their flesh, it's not going to be too far down the road when they're going to begin to run from you. They're going to reject you. Their hearts are going to turn from you because they are not going to be able to perform. The flesh will never be able to perform as to the degree that we would require or that God requires. So one source of supply we don't want to lead them to is the flesh and their own strength. Many of your children are looking to something or someone in the world as a source of power to help them cope, to help them perform or succeed. And it is stronger than the flesh, and that's the power that is in the world. It's the Antichrist spirit that's in the world today. This is things like sports, looking to sports, entertainment, activities, computer games. Or they might even look to you. You're in the world. They might look to you for their strength. And they'll find that's weak too. Now the thing about these things in the world, they work for a while. They're temporal. They're temporary, shall we say, temporary fixes. For instance, for me, when my father died when I was 12, the only way I knew to cope at that point in time was through sports. As long as I was playing, I didn't hurt. I didn't feel the pain of my father's death. So I played sports all the time. It worked. The only thing is, whenever I wasn't playing sports, then I felt the pain. So then I found, if I watch sports, it kind of worked the same way. Because then that would work. And then whenever I wasn't watching sports, I'd feel the pain. If I wasn't playing sports, I'm watching sports. So you know what I did then? I'd be lying in bed, dreaming about myself playing sports. You haven't ever done that, have you? Am I the only one that did that? I could envision myself making that tackle or intercepting that pass or throwing that pass for a touchdown or shooting that last minute shot. And I would envision almost entire games in my mind. If I knew the game was coming up on Friday night, I would play the whole game in my mind. My whole point is this. When it comes to a power source, a source of supply for how we handle life and how your children cope with the pains and disappointments of life, not only do you not want to lead them to the flesh, you don't want to lead them to find their security and their identity and their hope in things that are in the world. That is not a source of supply that will get them to the desired destination. It's not going to keep them on course. These sources of supply are kind of like a poisoned water hole. In a moment ago, we used the dry creek bed. I want to change the imagery here to there's the plains, and they're looking out over there, and they can see a water hole in the distance. And they can tell there's water in there. And so off goes the wagon train, full speed. They pull up, and in a dusty, screeching halt there on the side of that water hole, they jump off their wagons, they run down, they throw their faces into the water, and oh, it's wet, it feels great. Yes, this is quenching my thirst. And then one of them looks up and there's a sign that fell on the other side of the pond and it says, do not drink, poison. That's what the world's like. Oh, it tastes good, it's wet, it feels good, oh, it's refreshing, this is great. Only to find out it's poisonous. And isn't that the way the world is? You ever been there? You ever thrown your face smack into a big old watering hole of the world and taken a big old drink and felt satisfied and only look up and begin to feel the stomach ache and the pain of that big old drink of the world, and next thing you know, you've faced the reality that it's poisonous. It'll destroy you. It'll kill you. It's water, yes. It's a source of supply, yes. But the scout should have checked that out, don't you think? Wouldn't you agree? The scout should have found that sign over there before he pulled his wagon train up to the watering hole and said, here, have at it, fill your buckets and your canteens. Men, what are your family's, your family wagon train, they're watching you. What watering hole are you drinking from? Do they see you drinking from that poisonous water hole of the world, thinking that, well, I guess that's where life is. I guess that's the source for us here, if we're going to make it to the end. We'll just drink in the same place as Dad does. It's an important thing to consider, because the wagon train is going to drink where the scout drinks. What is your source of supply? Well, I hope it's not the dry creek bed, and I hope it's not the poisoned watering hole of the world. But there is another watering source, another supply, and that's the only source that will supply on a daily basis for us and our children. And it's the source that's abundant and vast as an ocean. And that is Jesus Christ Himself. You see, it says in Colossians that Christ Himself, it's in Him that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found. We're going to find in Jesus Christ everything we need. We're filled with Him. We're complete in Him. And you dads, the family scouts, must lead the next generation to look to Jesus Christ alone as the source of supply. if we look to Jesus to live in us, what we need for each day, we're going to be leading them to the right water hole, so to speak. For instance, if your children need to perform well on a test, you're the one that has to lead them. You're the scout that says, you know, before you take a test, you want to pray. You look to Jesus Christ living in you, Jesus Christ as the source of everything. Even your children that are not born again yet, you want to lead them to relationship with God. God will take care of the salvation part. What you do is lead them into relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus did with His disciples. You'll notice that, in fact, I don't know that I can remember or cite one evangelistic gospel invitation to any of the 12 disciples by Jesus Christ. He was just constantly leading them into relationship with His Father, who is the source of life. It was just relationship with God, relationship with God, relationship with God. It wasn't, you know what, you need to be saved. You need to pray this prayer. You need to do this or do that. It was relationship with God. In Him is everything you need. You can't say it enough, men. You can't say enough to your children. Jesus Christ living in you, Jesus Christ is the source of life for all things. He is our hope of glory. And that means if you're even in sports, and I don't want to say I've put sports down. I'm not trying to say sports can't be valuable to teach us discipline and certain character qualities in our lives. But even in sports, if we look to the flesh for the power to perform, what's the end result of that? Well, if they don't perform well, how are they going to feel? Well, they're going to feel inferior. They're going to feel like they're no good. Well, what if they do perform well and they look to themselves for the power to perform it? They're going to be proud. They're going to say, boy, aren't I good? You know, I ought to get all this attention and praise. But instead, if we looked at it and led our children to say, you know, no matter what you're doing, even in sports, look to Jesus Christ, even play in the right way to guide you. I remember as a coach, 1 year, my vision for the team, it was a junior high, teaching at a junior high Christian school. I said, I want us to play this entire year by faith. And what I want you to do, instead of looking over to me as the coach to see what I would say, I'm going to teach you during the week what to do and how to block out, how to shoot, how to play defense. I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. I just want you to listen to God. And God will be the one who'll bring to your mind to block out. He'll bring to your mind to shoot. He'll bring to your mind when to pass. Well, the interesting thing was that season we went undefeated. These kids played great. They made mistakes. But the thing was there was a freedom there. Because they were looking, I believe, not to me, but looking to God. And they're looking to Jesus Christ. We prayed in timeouts. We prayed before the game. We prayed at halftime. We were just seeking God that He's the source of everything. Even playing basketball. He's the source of whenever you're having to study, to take tests. He's the source of what you need to please your parents. Many of you need to teach that to your children. How about your wives? What is their source? When they need strength for the day with those children, teaching and leading them, in a sense being the help meet to the scout while you're at work, how are they going to have the strength to do that? If they look to the flesh, they're going to be very frustrated. If they look to the world to do it, next thing you know, they're going to be wanting to give their kids videos so the kids can be occupied so they can go rest. If it's not that, they'll be looking for one thing after another to try to give them the strength to make it through the day instead of Jesus Christ. The point is, there's only one source of supply for your wagon train, and that's Jesus Christ Himself. If you're filled with Him, He's the one that will provide you with the strength, the wisdom, everything needed to stay on course. When you're tired, look to Christ for your strength. When you can hardly stand it and go another day, you cry out to Jesus for strength. When you need comfort, Jesus is the answer. When you need, it doesn't matter what you need, does it? You need direction, Jesus is the answer. You need peace? Jesus is the answer. His peace He gives to us. Not that which the world gives, but His peace He gives. It's Jesus Christ that is the answer. You know, only as one lives in the fullness and the riches of relationship with God in Jesus Christ can they become mighty in spirit. Would you agree with that? That was our vision. How do you become mighty in spirit? Where's the source of supply for that? I'd like to suggest it's Jesus. How are you going to be equipped to love and serve? If that's our vision, your children equipped to love and serve, I'd like to suggest that can only be found in Jesus. He's the greatest lover of our souls, isn't He? If anyone knows how to love, it's Jesus. God is love. Who is the greatest servant that ever walked the face of the earth? It's Jesus Christ. We draw from Him as that well spring of life to love and to serve. And who is it that gives us the abilities? You know, it says in Deuteronomy that it's He who gives us the ability to make wealth. All the abilities we have, all the skills that we have, they come from Jesus. Everything's from Him. So, we're to lead our children to look to Jesus Christ alone for what is required in life. Love for God's Word, faith, obedience, self-control, wisdom, love, creativity, ability to serve unselfishly, strength to endure. All that can only come through Jesus Christ. His life in us and His life in our children. So, it is He who will ultimately get us to the end. Wouldn't you agree? That's the only way we're going to make it. He's the only one that's going to bring the vision to pass in us and give our children what they need to become men and women who are mighty in spirit, equipped to love and serve, and skilled for the glory of God. Now, I would like to kind of bring this to a conclusion here. Men, pull out the eyeglasses for a moment. You scouts, you're the visionaries who are leading your family wagon train through this leg of the journey. Right now, some of you are fathers with young children. Some of you are fathers with teenagers. Some of you are grandfathers with grandchildren, and you're still in somewhat of a visionary. You're the patriarch to the family. You're giving direction there too. Keep these things before you. What's the vision? Children who will become mighty in spirit, equipped to love, skilled for the glory of God. What's the course? Remember the three things? Stay on God, the path of God's Word, value family relationships, and be disciplined in the basics. Develop those natural abilities. And what's the source of supply? Jesus Christ alone. Just Jesus. And I hope and trust, in a sense, that I've been a faithful scout to you. I would like to think that, in a sense, that's what I am at this point. In this series, I've wanted to go out before you and present a vision for you. And we'll continue to do that in the other sessions in this series. To give vision for you that fit in with this vision. That in somehow more articulate what these things mean. That's where we're going. And further build on the whole idea that it's Jesus Christ that is our source. So, what do you say we pass it on to the next generation? We've got some young men and women who are here this evening and that are watching this maybe by video or listening to it on tape. I want to encourage you and challenge you that even now begin to take these things in and set your vision. If your fathers did not have this vision, or perhaps you don't have a father, that means God is your father. And in a sense, perhaps God is, through me, giving you vision that says, this is the way I'm going. This is what I want to be like. This is where that's the destination for me. And the course, let's keep them on course. Keep the next generation on course. Look at yourselves and see, okay, where am I taking them? What path have I got my family on? Is it actually going to get to the destination I want? Just look at what you're doing and say, if we just keep doing this day after day, week after week, year after year, are my children going to become mighty in spirit, equipped to love and serve? If you can look at it and say, you know what, I don't think that's going to happen where we are right now. Well, scout, you're in charge of the wagon train. Lead out in the right direction. Make a change of course. Get back on course. Set the vision clearly. I mean, for all you know, do your children know your vision? You may be thinking, we're going to the West Coast. Your children are thinking, I thought we were going to the East Coast. They may have a totally different direction in mind than you. Maybe they don't realize their calling. See, in a sense, their calling is their what? And let's think about what we've been talking about. In the wagon train, the whole thing, what's their calling? Well, they're the guys on the wagon train. They're the pioneers. They're the ones that are, they're not the scouts. That's your calling now, as dads. You're the scout. You're the one that's supposed to be leading. So, the wagons have been circled, and now they're beginning to line up behind you, and they're looking for you to lead the way, to give direction and encouragement. So men, dads, young men who are going to be dads, let's say, let's lead on the right way. Remember your vision. Remember your course. Remember the source of supply. Let's pray together and ask God to lead us. Father, we ask you to be our scout, that you would lead us. Your word is so clear about where we're to go and where we're to lead our children and our young people. We know that you're our source of supply, and so we want to worship you and thank you for your faithfulness. You've said, faithful are you who has called us. You've called us to this, and you'll be faithful to give us what we need. You've given us in your word the promise that what you begin, you will complete until the day of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I pray that with this confidence and this boldness that we have in Christ, that we will lead our families, scouts in the family wagon train, taking them forward to that which would glorify and honor you. Lord, my prayer is that as a result of this message, there will be families turned, perhaps for generations, from a direction and a course that was leading to destruction into your way and to a destination that will bring glory and honor to you. So, Father, I trust you with this, and I thank you through Jesus Christ. We give you the praise and the glory because you're our God and our Father, and we thank you. Amen.